Okay, anything else? There actually are not many verses that I could find that show us the theocratic. What's the theocratic? God over the nation of Israel with a government. And so we read this morning, and I think we'll just leave it there, but let's go there again. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7, just to see it again. First Samuel chapter 8, verse 7. We'll start in verse 4. Yes, sir. No. No, the theocratic, okay, I appreciate the question. The theocratic kingdom began, does anybody know when? Because it biblically, it has a beginning. Sorry? Well, interesting. I would say right at the beginning, when they came out of Egypt, and he said, I brought you to myself, and then he establishes the Mosaic covenant with them. That's when the theocratic kingdom began, and he began to reign as king over them. Then there were two phases of the theocratic kingdom. One was the mediatorial phase. Well, that's fair. More the judges, Moses, Joshua, the judges, and then Samuel. That's mediatorial, Samuel being the last judge. Then we go to the monarchical phase, which was monarchical. Saul and all of the kings. But then at the end of 2 Chronicles chapter 36, does anybody know what happens? Babylon takes Syria has already taken the northern kingdom captive, so there's no king over the northern kingdom anymore, no Jewish king over the northern kingdom. And then in 586 BC, Babylon takes the southern kingdom captive, and there's no Jewish king over the southern kingdom anymore. And that, in essence, brought the theocratic kingdom to an end. Because as of today, from 586 BC, as of today, which is 2,500 years later, there's still no king over Israel on earth. There's still, right, and God is not functioning as their king. So the theocratic kingdom, in essence, came to an end at that point. But we're going to see it reestablished, sort of. It won't be called the theocratic kingdom, but again, they kind of blend together. So 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4, all the elders of Israel gathered together and called to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, behold, you have grown old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations. But the thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. What that implies is God is the king over Israel. That is different than God being the king over all believers. That is different than God being the king over the universe. Yes, Israel is in the universe, so we don't want to try to tear it apart and make it that distinct, but it is a different facet of the kingdom. Yes, Israel is part of the universe, and yes, within Israel there were believers who are part of the spiritual kingdom, but these are distinct facets of God's kingdom. Do we need to know this? I think we do. It's God's word. I think it helps us when it's like when somebody says, when the Lord returns. That in of itself is, you have to be careful with that statement. But it's made often. But when you say, when the Lord returns, what are you talking about? Are you talking about the rapture? If you believe in the rapture, Is that what you're talking about? Or are you talking about the second coming if you believe in the second coming? That's two different events. So you want to be careful with your terminology. When the Lord returns, what event are you talking about? So when you see the kingdom of God is at hand, what kingdom are you talking about? Isn't it prudent for us to know? I believe it is. So that's really the theocratic kingdom. Let's move on to the messianic kingdom. Some people call this the millennial kingdom. Millennial kingdom. What's the difference between the terminology? One means 1,000. Which one means 1,000? Millennial. And what's messianic kingdom? It's a person. Jesus. That's right. So it's the same kingdom, but this tells you who's ruling, messianic, and this tells you how long. Both terms are legitimate and fine. Messianic tells you who's ruling during the kingdom, and millennial tells you how long it will be. King David was given a promise that you're going to have a king on a throne forever. You're going to have a king. And that led us to the messianic kingdom. Now let's look at what the messianic kingdom looks like. Turn to Psalm chapter 2, please. Psalm chapter 2. There are many passages about this kingdom. Many. So we're going to, possibly the rest of our evening will be on this. We'll see. I'm not trying to keep the fifth one a mystery. But I'm going to read all of Psalm 2. Why are the nations in an uproar? And why are the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take their counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. What's another word for anointed? Messiah. The nations, the rulers, the kings of the earth are taking a stand against the Messiah. They say, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. Now, you can see aspects of the universal and eternal kingdom. He who sits in the heavens laughs at these nations under his rule. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury and say, as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. Now, where is Zion? Jerusalem. It's another term for Jerusalem. What is God saying? I am going to put my king on a throne where? In Jerusalem. Who's the king? Well, Jesus. And in verse 2, it says his anointed, his Messiah. Verse 7, I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, this is Messiah speaking now. Thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give the nations as thine inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, lest he become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. When the Messiah is on earth, on the throne in Jerusalem, you better submit to him. That's what that says. Or you're in trouble. Kings of the earth. That's the messianic kingdom. So many places we could go. I'm not going to give too many. We're not going to go to many. But turn to Isaiah chapter, maybe we'll look at two or three in Isaiah. First, turn to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Verse 1. The word which Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it, and many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between nations and will render decisions for many peoples. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Stop there, please. When the Messiah is sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, if two nations have a conflict, are they going to go to war? No. They're going to go to Jerusalem and say, Messiah, will you solve our conflict? And they're going to take their swords and they're going to turn them into farming implements, farm instruments. And nation will not learn war again. And nation will not go against nation when Jesus is sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. Messianic kingdom. Turn to chapter 9. We read this at Christmas. It's appropriate. We could read the whole Bible at Christmas. That's appropriate. But we read this passage at Christmas, and I understand, but it doesn't just stay at his birth. Chapter 9. Verse 6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. So it's fine to read that at Christmas regarding the birth of the son who will be given to us, but it's pointing us forward to when he is the king on his throne in Jerusalem. There will be no end to the increase of his government on the throne of David. These are not loose words. These are real words. This is messianic kingdom. Any questions or any thoughts? I have my thoughts. Would you like me to tell you what I think? Yeah. So there's a group of guys who are studying Revelation in Bible study fellowship. Yes? Right. There are some people, the amillennialists would say there is no millennium or no messianic kingdom. And then there are other groups as well. I'm not well acquainted with different groups in many areas. But this is what, yes. Yes.
Amillennialism is not necessarily there is no messianic kingdom. It is they don't consider it to be a literal 1,000 years.
Oh, okay.
They believe that it's from when Christ is here,
that he's reigning now.
Yes, so
we'd be in the millennial kingdom now,
yes,
is what an amillennialist says.
Typically, there are different flavors.
Okay. Thank you. I believe there's a seven-year tribulation coming. And at the end of that seven-year tribulation, what finishes that seven-year tribulation is the second coming. And when the second coming occurs, Jesus will finish this age and will establish the messianic kingdom and sit on his throne in Jerusalem. And that will last for 1,000 years, is what I believe. And then after the 1,000 years, there will be a final judgment, and then we will enter the eternal kingdom.
Will he still be on the throne in Jerusalem after 1,000 years?
Where are we going to live forever? In the New Jerusalem. So he and his father will be on the throne in the New Jerusalem, yes. But it's a different kingdom. Because in the Messianic kingdom, there actually are believers and unbelievers. Not everybody in the Messianic kingdom will be a believer, because people will still be being born during the Messianic kingdom. And when they are born, they're coming out spiritually dead, just like they're coming out now. So during the Messianic kingdom, there still will be unbelievers, even though there'll be a righteous king on earth. In the eternal kingdom, in the New Jerusalem, there will be no unbelievers. Okay, so there's a seven-year period called the, there are many names for it, but one is the day of the Lord is one, that's the most prominent name, but the Great Tribulation. It's a seven-year period. It starts, actually, we read it this morning in Revelation chapter 5, it starts when Jesus breaks the first seal. The seven-year period begins. And it has three purposes, that seven-year period. I believe it's to punish the world for its sin, it's for worldwide evangelism, and it's to bring Israel as a nation to repentance for denying Jesus as Messiah. And when they come to repentance for denying Jesus as Messiah, they will look on him whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him. Every family of the nation by itself will mourn. And when they look on him whom they have pierced, he will return. And that's the second coming, I believe. Not everybody agrees. Yes.
Just following up, when you said for modern day conceptions of Israel, you're talking about how it currently isn't theocratic, but you saw it could sort of becoming theocratic. Is that part of it?
Well, right. So when Jesus sits on the throne, Israel will be in the kingdom with him, and he'll be, again, theocratic. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for bringing me back to that, because that's what I was mentioning. Other thoughts, questions? We're going to finish in just a few minutes. There are many passages regarding the Messianic kingdom, similar to the ones we read. I believe it's the Messianic kingdom that is being addressed in Matthew chapter 3. Turn there, please. Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Stop there. I believe he's referring to the Messianic kingdom. Turn to chapter 4. You may. I was just going to take us to another passage saying the same thing. Go ahead. No. Yes. Let me just show you this, and then I'll address it. You guys are very astute. Chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay. I don't know if you've ever heard what I'm about to tell you. I believe it's not new. When Jesus came to earth, was he secretive? No. How do we know he wasn't secretive? Because the Bible says so. Yes? What did he say? He did. What did he say when he was 12 years old? Why are you looking for me? Why are you searching all over? Did you not know that I needed to be in my father's house? Where were they sitting? The temple. Whose house is the temple? God. So what was Jesus saying? Did you not know that I needed to be about my father's, I needed to be in my father's house? My father's house. I'm the son of God. Do homage to the son. The son is the king. I'm the son of God is what Jesus said when he was 12 years old. And who was sitting around him when he said it? The teachers of the law, the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders. Then when Jesus ultimately went public, when he ultimately at 30 years old, so at 12, he said, I'm the son of God. Hang around. I'll be back in 18 years. And then when he went public, he went public on what's called a Passover. It's a Jewish feast. And do you know how he went public? Do you know how he announced? I feel like I've mentioned this before. Do you know how he announced that he was here? At 12? Or in Capernaum? Yeah, okay, that was up there. Public in Jerusalem. How did he go public? I appreciate that. That was in Nazareth. No, that was in Nazareth. No, that's at the end. That's after he went public. What did he do? How did he announce himself? Does anybody know? So, you know what they were doing in the temple? They were selling diseased animals to these poor people who are coming, who couldn't bring their own animals with them. They're selling diseased animals. Who? The religious leaders, under the control of Annas, who was the high priest, who was making loads of money off the backs of the poor people. That's what's going on. They're selling the diseased animals for their sacrifices at Passover. And then they're coming with this money, but they need to have temple money. So they have to exchange their shekels for temple shekels. You've traveled internationally. You know what it is to exchange funds. You get a certain exchange rate, and you always hope it'll be a better rate. And then you have to pay an exchange fee, right? So they were giving a very bad exchange rate to these poor people. And they were charging them exorbitant fees. That's what's going on in the temple. Whose house is the temple? So Jesus comes for Passover. Who's in Jerusalem? Everyone. And comes to the table. He goes... Now, would this, if I flip this table over, would anybody notice? So the money changers have all their money and all their receipts. And Jesus flips it over and says, stop making my father's house a den of thieves. What was he saying? I'm the son of God. It's 18 years later, fellas. I'm the son of God. Totally public. The son of God was Messiah. The nation of Israel was waiting for the Messiah. I believe Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you Jews. He was offering the messianic kingdom then. But they denied him. So the messianic kingdom will come later. I believe he was offering the messianic kingdom then. Even Nathanael, when Philip went to Nathanael and said, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets spoke, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael says, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" What he's really saying is, "Can the Messiah come out of Nazareth? I thought he was going to come out of Bethlehem." That's what Nathanael's saying. Can the Messiah come out of Nazareth? That's what he's saying. Because Philip's saying, "We found the Messiah. It's time for the kingdom." And Philip believed, and Nathanael believed, but the Sanhedrin didn't. And so they rejected him. And what I wanted us to look at was his rejection. We'll have to wait until tomorrow morning, which means we're not going to get to the fifth kingdom tonight. It's not like I'm wanting to keep it a mystery. There's a hint there when I say that. You'll understand once we get to it. So tomorrow morning, this is what's going to happen, and I'm about to stop. Tomorrow morning, we're going to look at how the nation rejected Jesus from being Messiah, and then we're going to look at the next kingdom that gets set up because they reject him as Messiah, the next kingdom. And I don't want to keep it a mystery for you guys. You'll understand tomorrow. But it's us. We're the next kingdom. Okay, I'm finished.